Hi, and welcome to Gary England's Last Storm. This is Mark.
And this is Dave.
Today, in our pregame for the Lakers, we're going to tell you what we really think about the Oklahoma City media.
The whole point about this is that the Thunder's defense is so stifling and it's so hard for them to hit free throws in the games, in late in games, because of the way our defense plays.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, our offense is terrible and our defense is getting lucky.
Yeah, well, but when you're playing the type of offense that we're playing, there's no luck involved. All you're doing is a smashing head. That's it. So they're going to miss free throws. They might be able to get their free throw percentage up to an 82 by the end of the season, but it's not going to be much more than that, because the way that we kick their ass and we shut them down and lock them down makes it so that the guys like James Harden doesn't go to free throw line and shoot, 84%. Or, KD, he missed two free throws in the game and he shoots 88%, 92%, whatever, from free throw line. So you can see our defense is obviously kicking their ass. I feel like they are allowing other people to make up their own minds. And it's something that we addressed on the a couple episodes ago about it, where I said that you should stop listening to the negative podcast. If that includes us, then it includes us. But look at this team and watch this team play and get your own idea of how good this team really, truly is. And just don't listen to the other crap.
Yeah, because there's a lot of noise. And I've noticed a few people like on Twitter who kind of have this apprehension about whether or not they're supposed to cheer for the team. And it's because of people like Andrew Schlecht and Royce Young, and they call themselves the OKC Dream Team. And, this whole idea, like, that they know the most about basketball. They have this inside access, and they've convinced everybody that Sam Presti, this is what he wants. But it's not – Sam never said that. It's bullshit. Like, most people don't have the time or the energy to watch this, like, Sam Presti talk for themselves. So they just kind of, like, listen to what these people say, and these people are just shoving their prerogative down your throat. And it's just – I don't know. It's obnoxious. Like, I was tweeting with Rylan Styles from Locked On Thunder, and, he was like, be specific about what I said that's wrong. It's like, it's hard to listen to your show, but so I did today, and I tweeted him back, like, today you mentioned three times Cade Cunningham. Like, how is that journalism? Like, that to me, all that is sitting around and, like, having a fantasy and then telling everybody your fantasy and hiding behind journalism. And, like, that's a real problem, because that's, like, what's been going on in this city for a long time. And Royce Young, he started out at Daily Thunder, and he was one of the worst ever at doing that. And Barry Trammell, he's a complete asshole, and he's a terrible reporter, and he gets all this respect, and I have no idea why. Because, what he did with Russ was just obscene. And, yeah, people always would play the clips of Russ because nobody knew who Barry Trammell was. But, like, I heard Barry one time say, I don't think Russ even knew who he was. Like, Russ knew who Barry Trammell was. Everybody knows who Barry Trammell is. Barry Trammell's an asshole.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and you bring up a lot of really valid points. And I think it's really important for us to recognize that these guys that are talking about the Thunder team in a negative way is really important for us to highlight. Because I personally feel, like Mark just said, that when people don't have time to watch the games, they listen to the podcasts or they watch the ESPN clips, and all they hear is about a young team with no true stars, and, like, this is a perfect tank team. And I read yesterday so many people putting up online that, like, even Oklahoma City sucks at tanking. Like, to me, like it's turned into a joke for people outside of Oklahoma City. And I also read another article that said the Oklahoma City fans and the fan base are really tired of all this tank talk, because we love our team. We're always loyal to our team. And some of these guys are out there saying, oh, we need a tank to be good. They just do not understand the true game and how it's played. Because look at the San Antonio Spurs. In the last 22 years, they've won five championships, right? But they've only had a draft pick lower than 12 one time. So you can build a team with only draft picks that are late lottery, even into the 20s, like that in 30s. That is okay. You can do that. All you got to do is draft smart and be smart. And I think that's what Sam is trying to do. And it's frustrating when we see these guys just talking crap about our Oklahoma City Thunder team.
Right. And I don't see why I should just sit back and do nothing about it. Like, honestly, I got on Twitter. I got on Facebook. I started a podcast simply because I'm tired of all this trash that they're talking. And this is a platform for us to talk back. And I had no way to talk back. I would just be at my home, be pissed off. I'd be sitting at the table, and I'd be telling the kids about all the reasons that I'm upset because all the stupid stuff that other people are saying, and there was nothing I could do about it because they don't respect anybody. And you know what? They don't respect me. I understand that. They're not going to respect me. That's fine. They're complacent. They've already reached the level of success that they're satisfied with. I mean, it's an unimpressive level of success, but they are so satisfied with it that they are complacent. And so people like Royce Young, he likes to sit around and talk shit on the Thunder because it makes him cool to his ESPN friends to be the one who's willing to shit on his own team. And I'm just tired of it. And look, they will always say, like, no, I said SGA could be an all-star, and I said Darius Baisley was a building block, and I said this and I said that. But the fact is, when you say that this team isn't going to win more than 28 games or 30 games or whatever stupidly low number, like, you're saying that SGA won't be an all-star. You're saying that these players aren't going to step up into that position. You're saying that the experiment of giving Darius Baisley and Lou Dort and all these other guys more responsibility was a failure. So saying, like, oh, yeah, I'm being positive and giving them 28 wins, there has never been a good 28-win team.
Yeah, think about this, though, Mark. 2018, 2019, those same experts predicted that the Thunder would miss the playoffs and should trade Russell Westbrook so we could restart this team immediately. 2019, 2020, they predicted that we only win 28 games, even with Chris Paul in trading, saying that Chris Paul is trash and is not going to be a good player. And then all of a sudden, halfway through the season, they're all of a sudden jumping on the Thunder dick like, oh, we thought you guys could do this too. Way to go, guys. Sorry, we predicted it slightly wrong, but we did it. Right? We're going to be in the playoffs now. And this year, it's the same exact crap. 2020 and 2021 season, they all came out saying the Thunder are going to win less than 30 games. And that's why we're here today and saying we believe that this Thunder team is not only a good team, but we're sick and tired of these shitheads shitting on our team.
Yeah. And that's what they're doing. And they act like it's not. But the fact is, when you talk about some freshman in Stillwater as if he's a part of our team, even though we don't have a chance at him, but you're doing a disservice to the fans. And I'm just tired of it. I'm so freaking tired of the bullshit. I just, like, let's just focus on the team that we're putting out on the court. Let's focus on the roster we have. If you can't do that, then you're not being a journalist. You're lazy. That's it. You're not paying attention. You can have all the sources in the world, but you can be lazy because you're not paying attention to the game. I don't know what you're doing during the game. It's probably on in the background, but you're not freaking watching it.
Yeah.
This game is damn good.
And let's just put this out there. Ryan Stiles, when he says that he believes, personal opinion, that the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to win less than 30 games, and then he goes out there and he says, but I hope I am wrong, because I like this Thunder team. Listen, this is the same exact thing he said for 3 years in a row. And this is why he gets so frustrated with it, is because now when all of a sudden the Thunder do well, he's going to come up and be all like, oh, guess what, guys? I was right. Yeah. You know, I was hoping that we won more than 30 games.
Right.
But my personal opinion was that we weren't. So I was wrong, but I was half right.
Right. And that's like, it's like it's heads of a bet. But the thing is, all these fans are sitting here and they're wondering if they should even cheer for the team. I can't tell you how many times I've read people who made comments like, are we supposed to be winning, cheering for winning or losing? Like, I can't figure out. And then, like, I've listened to podcasts and people are like, they have conflicted emotions about our wins. Like, they wanted to play a close game and lose. Like, this isn't normal. This doesn't happen in other fan bases. This is a thing that's special for Oklahoma City. And I think it comes down to the reporters in Oklahoma City having an inferiority complex. And so what they try to do is they try to act like the big league reporters. And all they can think about is the way that New York media rips into their teams. Well, you know what? A big reason why the teams suck in New York is because of the media. Everybody can blame it on the ownership, but the media are jerks. They're assholes. Everybody says, how can, you know, can this player handle the pressure? Why do we intentionally create that level of pressure on young players? Like, we did it to Russ. We did it to KD, okay? And KD, for some reason, the Daily Oklahoman decided to run a Mr. Unreliable cover story with a giant picture of KD, and it really pissed him off. It pissed his family off. And I know he never said, he always said it wasn't that. He said he wanted to win somewhere else, or he didn't think we could win. Bullshit. Like, that hurt him. He made it clear that hurt him. His family made it clear it hurt him. And the way that Barry Trammell and all the other reporters, like Royce Young, would sit there and count Russ's shots because they thought that that's how you're supposed to be a reporter for a big league city. It's not. That's not your job. And now they're sitting there and I'm saying, like, stop trying to encourage everybody to think that we should lose. And they're saying, I can't make anybody think that we should lose. Like Zach Lowe was saying to me, I can't make anybody think that we should lose. Like that's their own opinion. It's like, really? Like, I looked at your articles and just in the headline, like, out of the 9 games we've had, like at least 3 of them have a headline of tank, 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 tank. And you open it up and it's all about a tank. And maybe this most recent one was tongue in cheek and I kind of came at him on it, but I don't really give a damn because it's bullshit. Like, I'm tired of everybody talking about something that has nothing to do with the product that's on the floor. These aren't reporters. Okay. These are entertainment reporters. They're trying to get everybody caught up in stuff that doesn't matter. They're not sports reporters. I don't know why that they get all the credit. You know, if you listen to Down to Dunk, even for like 2 minutes, you realize that they talk about fast food as much as they talk about basketball. Okay. And half the people on there don't know what they're talking about. And, you know, they can get annoyed that I'm calling them out for their shit. And, you know, like a lot of them don't appreciate me attacking their podcast and they don't think they deserve it. But I'm just wondering, why can they talk down our team so much and nobody says anything to them? And then the first time somebody says something to them, they're like, hey, I'm a journalist. Like, yeah, but you're a journalist who's being negative, okay? So you're in a place where I can criticize you. And then they act like, well, that, you know, it's not okay to criticize journalists. Journalists are allowed to criticize players, but people are not allowed to criticize journalists. And I don't understand that logic. I think that it's just very convenient for them to be able to avoid any confrontation. But the truth is, people listen to what they say. So they have a responsibility to not talk out of their asses.
Yeah, let's just put it out there that the real reason they are talking out of their asses is for one real good reason, in their opinion, is for legitimately becoming a better reporter in the eyes of more money, ESPN creds, and all these other awesome things that they will get as long as they don't, you know, show that their favoritism is all towards Oklahoma City. So I think this is what's so frustrating, like Mark was saying, is that these people are literally standing on there and saying it's okay for us to say our opinion is we're only going to win 30 games. That's not what we feel that our heart wants.
You're right.
It's okay for us to shit on our other teams because that's just our opinion.
Right, and here's the thing. Royce writes that, you know, oh, hold on, everybody. The schedule's about to get really hard. And all of his ESPN friends are looking at him and saying, huh, like, Royce, you told us this team was going to be bad. And then he's, like, kind of looking at them and being like, well, you told me the team was going to be bad. And they're like, yeah, but, Royce, you're the one who's supposed to be an expert. He's like, I know, but you guys are experts too. And nobody's an expert. They don't know what the fuck they're talking about. They've never known what they're talking about. Okay, Daily Thunder was a terrible website. He did a terrible job. He was a negative influence on the Thunder community. He got promoted to ESPN, and he walks around like he has the biggest dick in the house. And you know what? I don't really give a shit. I'm happy for him that he has a job at ESPN, but I'm tired of him shitting on this team here and now. He abandoned the Thunder fans when he left Daily Thunder to a couple of jackasses who don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And he's abandoning them again by trying to be cool and talking down this team. And when it all comes around, he's got the story already written in his head about how he didn't anticipate how we would keep George Hill and Al Horford, just like he didn't anticipate CP3. It's just it's, like you said earlier. This is the same thing. We already see it coming. It's not. And they're gonna always act like nobody saw it coming. No.
Well,
they were blinded
think,
by their own emotional investment into a top five pick in this draft.
I think you're right. They're pushing their own agenda and what they think is right. And this is the clear indication of that too. I think that we can't go unnoticed here. Is that I believe that by them sticking out and saying that the Thunder are going to lose like they are, I think what they're doing is really reality is trying to get more people to stand behind them.
Right.
For some strange reason, they unite the whole idea of making money and more views together. And that's what they're trying to do. And to me, that's where it gets scary because I feel our funding base is already very sensitive. And I feel like what's happening is we can look around and we can start witnessing that something's happening different here than it's ever happened before. And we just don't like the fact that when CP3 was here, like they treated him like crap, like in the beginning, like afterwards, after they realized that he wasn't a washed up 35 something year old man, then mm-hmm. they all of a sudden are like, we love CP3. But before they were trashing him. Why is Sam keeping him? All this other stuff. Like we had no idea, but guess what? Sam kept him because he rejuvenated his career. And instead of having to give away draft picks to get rid of him, they actually received how many draft picks from the trade? Two plus Obrey plus. I mean, we can go down the line of what happened and how Sam was able to take a maximizing getting CP3 for 1 year. So when people are like, oh, well, we're going to trade George Hill and we're going to trade Al Horford, the only way we do that is if we get a king's ransom for them, because we can get way more stuff for them next year.
Right. And that's the thing. That's what everybody acts like. They all have this like this caveat, this way that, well, I'll just say, if we keep these players, which I don't think we will, then we could be good. And then that way, like you said, they're half right no matter what. But they're wrong. They're wrong. And they're looking at it. Okay, there's 72 games in the season, right? And so we've already won 5, right? And most of them already only think that we're going to win 28 or less, okay? So that means we're only going to win 23 more games in the season, okay? And there's 62 games coming up, okay? Like they think that we're going to be substantially – they think we're going to be the worst team in the NBA going forward. Like that's how wrong they are. That, they're significantly wrong. And they think that we can just magically turn off our be good switch. Like our team somehow wants to be bad. We brought in a first year coach and we're going to somehow put him in a situation to fail on purpose. And this is their expert opinions. And we're supposed to shut up and listen. And if anybody says anything else, anybody, they get attacked. Like I was got attacked by a bunch of random people, like who were just calling me like I was an idiot and stuff because I thought that this team could make it to the playoffs. To the playoffs. I mean, I think that's a pretty normal thing for NBA teams. When you think about it, there's, what, 30 of them and 16 make it to the playoffs. I'm pretty sure most teams end up thinking, their fan bases end up thinking they're going to make it to the playoffs. But for me, somehow, it's okay to be just completely attacked for thinking that our team is going to be making it to the playoffs. Why? It's because of these dumbasses who pose as journalists and really are just inserting drama and entertainment into their sports podcasts, their articles, and whatever else they do, whatever medium they use. They just sit there and they push their own prerogative.
Yeah, I kind of feel like when I'm listening to the podcast, I'm watching an episode of The Bachelor, and it's just drama-filled bullshit. And the biggest thing that I feel like that's happened is they start off in the last, this is the, you know, 3 years in a row, they start off by saying this team's going to be horrible, you know, Russ isn't good enough to carry the team anymore, or Chris Paul is too old, Gallinari's too injured, and this year they're saying Al Horford's useless and Hill isn't any good anyways, and then our bench is shit. To me, like, on every level, if you look at what they say and you see what they write, they are trashing the team, and they could sit there and be like, well, again, this is my opinion, and this is what my heart says is this. But if they give you their opinion and they tell me, they look at me in my face and say, I hate your beard. Your beard looks awful. But that's just my opinion. And I think you should keep growing it. Right? So, like, they contradict themselves every single time they say something like that. So, to me, like, I get confused by these guys, literally confused, because it's like, oh, hate your team, hate your team. Oh, well, you know, we're not saying hate, but we want them to lose so we could get Cunningham. And it's like, are you fucking serious? So you want us to lose only to have a coin flip to get the number one pick.
Right.
Okay. What's right. going on with that?
Right. And here's the thing. I'm staying with my in-laws, so I'm in Oklahoma right now. And, like, the thing is, like, everybody who watches the Thunder with me at all are like, who are these players? Like, you know, I don't really know if I want to get invested in this team. Do you think that we're going to keep any of these players? Are they all going to be traded? They all want to know, like, the answers to those questions. And the only people who have any opportunity to say anything are these people who personally want some kid from Stillwater to be their personal Lord and Savior in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, if the Thunder do anything and any trades at all, they're going to be trading to get better. They're not going to be trading to get worse. And the only way they trade to get worse is if Hill and Horford get injured or SGA gets injured and all of a sudden we look like we're going to have a really hard time competing. Then I could see the Thunder deciding, hey, we'll take a first-rounder for Hill. But the reality is that they could get a first-rounder next year and pay Hill only $9 million this year for his leadership style and all that other stuff. So why in the world would they give up a player like Hill for a first-rounder when next year they could get it and get this guy to really play hard? And again, we are talking about a team that has well over $40 million in trade exemptions. So I do think the Thunder have up their sleeves maybe a couple players that they have circled that if they don't start playing well, that they'll take on, and whether it's a large contract, whether it's a expiring contract, whatever it is, I do think the Thunder are going to take on a couple trades in order to be able to compete better this year.
Yeah, I think there's an opportunity to do that with the flexibility we have with the salary cap. And, like, we've always looked at the times where there's buyouts or the trade deadline as a chance to improve for the right deal, for the right opportunity. And this year is going to be no different. Like, we've set a precedence for winning, for making it to the playoffs, for consistency. That's important. You don't just throw that out the window because you decide one day that you want to go for a little stroll in the losing lane. Like, you're winners. Like, winners only know how to win.
Yeah. And that is a really good point, and it's something that I think that is the question, my biggest question and statement of the day is who is Sam Presti? And otherwise, know your GM. If you can know who your GM is, you can know what their predictions are. And this is why it gets so frustrating is here's these guys that are talking shit on our team, that have covered the Thunder, that have had meetings with Sam and have gotten a chance to know him, and yet they still talk about us tanking. At what point in Sam's career, as a GM, as an assistant GM, as whatever, has he learned to quit? Has he learned to tank? Look at where he came from. He came from where? The San Antonio Spurs. So when you say tank, it irritates me because here's a guy that has a legacy of he does not ever want to tank. And if you think he's going to tank, you don't know who this guy is.
Right. When you think about the team that we have out there, it's time to just go ahead and fall in love with these young players and these vets and the way that they're gelling in this new coach and this new system. There's no reason to be apprehensive. Like, there's no reason to hold back. Just go ahead and watch the games and see what's happening out on the court. And if you can't stop thinking about future draft picks, think about all of the future draft picks we have. Don't just think about the one that you want to make, like, as good as possible by losing as many games as possible. It's not right. We have the opportunity to cash in on draft picks for many, many years. We need for someone else to be bad, not for us. We have a lot of other teams' draft picks. We don't need to be bad. We need to continue and maintain this winning atmosphere. And in the end, what you've seen Sam do is he's been able to change the wheels on the car while the car was rolling down the road, because he was able to go from Russ and Paul George to CP3 and Dennis Schroeder, and now we're sitting here and we have this new team and we have new youth and we can see the players who are clearly going to stay around for a long time and we can see the players that are on their way out. And it's not going to necessarily take forever for Al Horford or George Hill to leave. But as long as they can help this team win, they're going to be here. They're not just going to be sent away for nothing unless it's an incredible package, like you said. And if you want to like get an idea of what an incredible package is, all these like tank commanders like Andrew Schlecht and like, I don't know, Rylan Stiles and Royce Young and all these tank commanders, like they all said, if Sam Presti could get one first rounder for Steven Adams, he should take it. And he would take it. They were so sure he would take it. But if you look at the package he got, it was incredible. I don't even want to think about all of the stuff he had on it. I'll just say this. Other than the first round pick and the multiple second round picks, he got George Hill. And George Hill is worth more than Steven Adams. So if you think that he's just going to give away George Hill for one pick, like, you don't know what you're talking about. And this just brings us to the main point of this whole thing, which is these people, these journalists, as they call themselves, are not experts about the sport of basketball. They don't know what they're talking about. They're posing. They have always been posing. And they lead a bunch of people to really, like, misunderstand the game. And I don't know if they do it on purpose or if they do it just because they don't understand the game themselves, but making drama between the players and the fans and the media, that's not their role. Becoming part of the story, that's not the role, their role. Their role is to report on what's happening, to look at the product and tell the fans what's happening, not to insert them into the story. And somehow they can't get that right. And because of that, there's an opening. There's an opening for another voice because they are failing the fans of Oklahoma City.
Yeah, and I think we should, when these tank commanders are speaking up and saying, oh, we need a tank to be good, I think the biggest stat and the thing that we should look at is the way that Sam Presti has traded away players and accumulated draft picks. So we have 17 first-round draft picks until the year 2026. That's almost an average of 3 first-rounders every single year. So why are we acting like tanking is what we should be doing when the reality is we should allow other teams to screw up so that we can capitalize on those picks, not us trying to screw up so that we can hopefully capitalize on one of those draft picks?
Right. And they always say, well, there's only one of those picks we can control. Like, there's 17 picks. Like, what do you want? You have the most picks in any team has ever owned in any sport. So what is the big deal? Like, why are we in such an urgent situation where we're dying to lose? Like, we might not be capable of maintaining the record we have right now, but I'll tell you this right now, some of the players, specifically Al Horford, George Hill, are capable of playing much better basketball than they've already played. So why do we just sit there and go, oh, well, it doesn't matter. What we're seeing, we have to deny what we're seeing with our eyes.
Yeah, again, what they're doing is they want to be so right about this whole tanking thing that they're willing to overlook the legitimacy of the team that we currently have. And that, to me, is such a poor way of being a journalist in Oklahoma City because, you know, yes, people are acting like we're attacking Styles and all these other guys that are on there because of their views, but our opinions. But the reality is what we're doing is all we're trying to do is stand up for who we love. And that is the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, we have some deep, passionate love for this team. And when we sit here and listen to people talking about tanking, and we feel like we've been able to watch Sam grow up as a man and as a human being, we've been able to see that this is not at all what Sam wants. And if he wanted that, he would have traded Russ 2 years ago and got what he could have, traded Adams and everybody else on the team, and he would have taken 4 or 5 draft picks and he would have been happy if that's what he wanted to do. But instead, he's seen this vision of what he could accomplish, and all he had to do is be patient. And that's the thing about what Sam has done, is he's done this so many times, whether it's picking up a player that people are like, oh, you know, he's not going to do too much damage. Mike, let's just put Mike out there. People talk crap on Sam getting Mike. They thought it was, you know, here's this guy that only can shoot threes. But as we've been able to see this year, him putting 20-plus minutes a game, he's much more than a three-point shooter.
Yeah. And everybody just wants to put these players into these little boxes with what their expectations are. And then they don't even watch the game. And then, like you said, the last podcast, they look at the stat line and they go, bad game, bad game, bad game, bad game. Like, they're looking for failure and they're finding what they want to find. And then they're looking at our record and being like, that doesn't make sense to the way that I perceive things in my worldview. And then they can't understand the two. So then their brain hurts. And so they just turn it off. Like, that's not a good excuse. Like, this is obvious. And they're going to try to say later on that nobody could have seen this coming except for a bunch of fanboys. Well, look at our roster. Look at our team. Like, this isn't crazy talk. We have all-stars on our team. Why is it that we aren't allowed to make it to the playoffs? And if we think about it, if we talk about it at all, then we're crazy. Like, we're not crazy. We are just willing to look at it realistically. And they say, oh, you're not realistic. Like, no, here's the thing. They're even willing to go as far as say, if we keep the team intact, then we might make the playoffs. Okay, so we clearly have a team that's good enough. It comes down to whether or not they believe that we're going to go out of our way to make this team bad simply to miss the playoffs and get a good pick. And if that's what they think, then they are not cheering for the Thunder. They're cheering for picks. And if they want to cheer for picks, that's fine. But cheering for ping pong balls is not the same as cheering for basketball.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. It shows the incapability of the Oklahoma City Thunder media truly being a legitimate industry at this moment. I feel like this is where we struggle at watching, because if this team was in New York or this team was in L.A., they would be incredibly excited about this team right now. They would be pumped because this team has a chance to do something special. And yet people in Oklahoma City are, I feel like, not everybody, but the Tank Commanders and their little cult followings are all sitting there saying, we need to tank to get Cade Cunningham. And the reason they're saying Cade Cunningham so much is because this kid plays for Oklahoma State University. And to me, it's like, okay, I get what you're saying. This kid's really awesome. But why would we try to tank at this point right now? Like, we have a team that's legitimate. Now, if a team comes in and it's like, hey, listen, we want George Hill. We're willing to give you two first-rounders and two assets. I feel like that would be almost too good to be true, and we would have to take that. But the reality is that nobody's going to swoop in and offer that right now for George Hill.
Right. And until they are, we're not going to take it. So let's just fall in love with this team. Let's just go ahead and sit back, put your seat in the upright position, and enjoy the ride. There's no need to overthink this and try to intentionally make this team bad. What we're trying to do right now is cheer for a young team. A young team. A number of the kids on this team are just that, kids. They belong in college, and they're not in college. They're here. They're playing professional basketball in Oklahoma City, and for some reason, Andrew Schlecht and all of his Tank Brigade, all they look to do is watch basketball that's happening in Stillwater, and they forget that we have professionals playing right here, right in front of our eyes, and all they can do is drool over some kid that just will not be on our team. And even if he was, he wouldn't be our savior.
Now, our savior is SGA, and I think anybody that can't see that right now is starting to recognize that he has the capabilities. But if you don't recognize that SGA is going to be an MVP candidate for a very long time in the NBA, then you just probably don't understand the true game and how it is performed.
Well, that's about what we have to say. So we'll go ahead and get ready for the game tonight against the Lakers. But thank you for joining us for Gary England's Last Storm. This is Mark.
And this is Dave.